Angel again, podcast listeners. This is Buck Benny speaking. I'm bringing you something really different today that a lot of you might not want to take part of, and that is fine. This is going to be on a completely different podcast network. It is not going to be part of our regular podcasts at all, but I just wanted to put it out here to let you know that it exists and that I'm trying something new out. It's a political podcast called Left, Right, or Wrong, and I am going to be interviewing people from the left and people from the right. The people from the right that were going to show up ended up not being able to, so it's more left-centered, this first one. But it is, I think it's interesting to get into the mind of what's going on with some of our folks that are on the left. And I think that getting into these conversations without anybody yelling at each other, with just trying to figure out kind of how people are thinking, is helpful and is insightful. And I enjoy it. So we'll see if we're going to continue it or not over time. But this gives you a sampling of it. There is a second podcast over there as well currently with the same person. She's a 19-year-old named Alicia that I did the podcast with. And that one goes over her experiences in Black Lives Matter and the protests and getting tear gassed. Really interesting listening experience. All of this is also available on YouTube as one long interview that I have with her, one long chat. And so I'll link to both my new podcast, the Politically Left, Right, or Wrong, and I'll also link to my YouTube channel and the interview, the long form that I have on there of both of us chatting. If you want to see me in person and you want to see what Alicia looks like, then you can check it out there. I'll have links to both of those in the show notes from this show. So check that out, and you might want to watch us on YouTube instead of listening. I don't know. So without further ado, here is a sample of the podcast, Politically Left, Right, or Wrong. Enjoy.
I think that somehow, somewhere inside of us, we must be similar, if not the same. So I continue to be wanting you left of center, against the grain. And if you want me, you can find me left of center, off of the strip, in the outskirts, in the fringes, in the corner, out of the grip.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Thought we would try a political podcast here. The big reason that I'm doing it now is I just wanted to get out there ahead of time and say what my VP pick was, what I thought Biden might pick for his vice presidential candidate. So we're going to go over that in this podcast. We get a chance to spend some time with 19-year-old Alicia, who is a political science student at University of Washington. And she's pretty far left. She's gone to some of the protests and things, and we get a chance to interview her and see where she's coming from. Our podcast is a calm podcast. The big thing is I don't want us yelling at each other and things. I just want to hear where the person's coming from. I'll try and find some people from the right as well to bring on. I asked a couple people from the right, and they could not come on, or they were concerned about the cancel culture and that sort of thing. We'll get into that on a future podcast. I decided to break this in chunks. So the chunk for today is focusing on the vice presidential pick for Biden. Plus, we'll get into some our thoughts on voting by mail and that sort of thing. So anyway, if that interests you, then tune in and we'll see if you like this podcast. And thank you for joining us on Politically Left, Right, or Wrong. And we'll get started. Because what I want to get to that we need to talk about is, and I said we were going to chat about the vice presidential picks. So we'll move to that. So I know that you originally were a huge supporter of Bernie Sanders.
And huge supporter.
Yes. And still love Bernie Sanders.
Yeah,
I think you understand why Bernie Sanders is probably never going to be a vice presidential pick of Biden.
Yeah, I mean, for one, he's old.
Yes. I was going to say, if he was young, if he had the same views and things was younger, I think you could make a lot more of an argument. But I truly think, in my opinion, Biden needs a younger running mate for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of like the only thing that I didn't really like about Bernie is that he's so old. I was like, I really don't want you to die right before this election. But it's like, yeah, we're going to need somebody young. I think we already talked about how, off of the podcast, we already talked about how Biden needs somebody to kind of even out his, you know, crime bill passed.
Yes.
So if you can have somebody who's a little bit separate on that.
So that brings up to me Kamala Harris, because Kamala Harris has some of that same past with issues with being for police, more being
she's a cop. Yeah.
Yes, correct. So I think she actually adds to those difficulties, not compensates for those difficulties. Would you agree with that?
I 100% agree with that. Okay. I think that the only reason that she's really being floated is that she was a presidential candidate, she's a woman, and she's Black.
Yes.
And they kind of were like, oh, well, that's a good demographic for us to try and fill. But
well, you also usually want your a lot of folks believe that the vice presidential pick should be kind of an attack dog sort of person. And she's kind of got that ability to really, as a prosecutor, come out there and just tear people apart. She was doing so good when she was
you know, attacking Biden during the debates. I loved her when she was doing that.
Pretty good, but it didn't, I don't know. I don't know why that didn't gain more traction. The only thing I can figure out is that it just seemed too vicious and like turned people off, maybe.
I think I can only speak for the leftist circles that I'm in, but yes. I know that, you know, we saw that and we were like, that is awesome. Like, that's tight that she actually called him out. Cause you know, Bernie is such a nice old man that he is so bad at calling them out. And there were so many times we were just like, Bernie, just tell him what it is. Like, you know, you have the facts on your side and you know, but he is not great at doing that. And so when Kamala did that, we were like, that's awesome. We still hate her record. absolutely abhor her record.
Well, I also think that being an effective, especially in the primaries, being an effective attack person's going to attack. You have to understand what the other person's done in the past. You have to research them. You have to figure some things out. And I felt like Bernie knew what he wanted to do, and his sole focus, which is a good thing in a way, was this is what needs to happen and this is what we need to do. It wasn't so much you are wrong in your past and I researched that and know what you're wrong about. I didn't get that feeling that he did that. I got the feeling that he was more into making sure that his agenda was clear.
He has what a lot of people on the left have is where they have the facts. Mm-hmm. And if they just presented them in a better way, they would have a lot more people on their side.
Correct.
And it's like, there are so many people who are for Medicare for All. Mm-hmm. And Bernie was the Medicare for All candidate.
Right.
But he did not do a great job at debating, at attacking, at stating his facts within a context. You know, when people attacked him, he'd just be like, well, no. And it's like, well, a lot of people don't know, so you need to explain that. You need to talk about what it is. And it's hard to do in a debate system when they, you know, you have 2 minutes to talk.
Correct.
But he definitely could have done better at explaining his views and talking about that.
Okay. So of the VP picks that are left, we both, I think, have sort of maybe ruled out. I guess we need to figure out two things. One, who is it that we think would be the best for either Biden or the country or whatever? Two, who do we think Biden's going to pick, which might not be the person we think is the best, but might be the person he's going to pick. So, is there somebody that stands out to you of the people that you're hearing he's looking at that would be high on your list of going, okay, that would be a good choice? I would think, knowing you, that it would be Warren, but I don't know.
Yeah, I'm completely okay with a Warren vice presidency. I don't know. Is she still being floated?
What was that?
I'm asking if she's still being floated?
Yes.
Okay. I was just making sure because she's probably still in.
I don't know if she's in. She's definitely not in top three, but
that's unfortunate. She's in
top five, maybe top eight, certainly top 10 of the people that they're mentioning. So the thing I have is that I would think a Bernie supporter would be frustrated with her a little bit is that if you're going to take her, why not take Sanders? Because she's old too. I mean, right. So she's in that same ballpark of age as all of those folks in their 70s.
I think she's definitely,
she just doesn't seem that old.
Oh, she definitely doesn't seem old. She's surprisingly youthful,
yes.
but whereas Bernie, you know, he looks old.
Bernie and Biden both seem really old compared to Warren.
Yeah. I think that the reason that, one, he would choose her over Bernie is that she's more of the diet version. You know, she's a lot more willing to compromise. She's a lot more willing to, compromise. She's just a lot more willing. Like, she has most of the same
values. Well, she seems more nimble on, like, if there was a new issue and things and thinking it through, and she seems like a real problem solver and things. Bernie has things that he's supported for 30 years.
Yeah.
So he's not going to change those things. Yeah. And then other things, I don't know. I mean, I might be giving him a short shrift in saying that he doesn't feel like he'd be that nimble. He just doesn't seem to bring up new issues all that often and talk about new things, whereas Warren seems to do that quite a bit.
I feel like for Bernie, the new issues are the old issues, and he's always been just a little bit of kind of a class reductionist.
Yes.
So, you know, he talks, and like that's what a lot of people attributed to his loss in 2016 is like he is so bad at getting just people of color on his team.
Yes.
And this election he did a lot better at, you know, recognizing what we're talking about now in the context that we are talking about now. Like back in 2016, I think I remember hearing about Black Lives Matter protesters kind of took over one of his rallies and started speaking.
Yes.
And he just kind of stood back because he was like, they're right. Like,
yeah.
But he did seem to have kind of one of those like, oh, you know, racism's in the past. We just need to conquer class divides and we'll get through with it.
Right.
And this time around, he did a lot better at not doing that.
Good.
But yeah.
But I think also, honestly, all of us, once Biden said that he was definitely going to pick have a female choice, right? It kind of wiped out a bunch of folks that could have been looked at. I mean, I don't think.
I was expecting Pete Buttigieg to be.
I don't think anybody seriously looked at Buttigieg. I don't think they've looked at any of those folks once he kind of said, "No, we need a female as my running mate."
Oh, definitely not.
Yeah, at least that's what I feel like. I feel like all the lists anyone's ever seen are all women. And I feel like he's almost committed to that, to where he can't. If you wanted to backtrack on that, he would have done that a couple months ago and said, you know, I've started to look at Bernie and I've started to look at Buttigieg and whoever else he was going to choose. But that's not in the cards at this point, I wouldn't say. Would you agree that he can't really go to a male at this point?
No, yeah, I absolutely not. I mean, you can't say that in the debate, have it be the hot topic for like, you know, weeks, almost months, and then have him backtrack on it. People would call him out for things they've always called him out for, but it'd be a lot more hard hitting.
Agreed. So, of the females we have, is there any that stand out to you as either a no-go or somebody that you kind of like or that you think he'll like, or where are you at with anybody?
I'm not okay. So first of all, I'm not super informed on his VP list,
which is okay.
Who I would personally like is someone from the Bernie campaign, someone like Nina Turner. That is never going to happen.
Yes, I was unfortunately, say, he is not on any shortlist that I know.
Yeah, no, there's never going to be a because I mean, it just gets into the racism where it's they're saying most of the things that Bernie's saying, but they are, you know, the loud, angry black woman. So they got attacked relentlessly by right-wing media. So unfortunately, that's not really going to happen.
Right.
Again, I would like Warren. I would be completely okay with that. I would support that. The one who I would really not like to see is Amy Klobuchar.
Okay. But she backed out, so he doesn't even – she's not even on the list at all anymore.
Yeah, she backed out because of that I can't remember. Was it George Floyd or was it somebody else? Because that's – I mean, that's the reason why she blacked out is because she got called out for a record.
Yeah.
But that anyone like her who wants to appeal too much to the right is very suspicious to me.
Right.
Because I don't think that that's – you know, if we're Democrats, we're Democrats, you know.
Right.
The thing is,
Biden doesn't need that. Biden
is already very conservative. Yes.
Appeals to the right because he was most central. I mean, let me put it this way. The person on the right that I talked to that was going to do the podcast with us or were thinking about it, they gave me their opinions on all of this and totally were consistent with what I thought were the opinion. We said of the candidates for president, that were the major candidates. Where did you feel like Biden fell? And he felt like Biden was the most right of pretty much any of the candidates that were running for the presidency. Now, that's not saying very right. That's saying still center left, but certainly everybody else was seriously left of that. When you look at Warren, when you look at Sanders, those folks. So he could see himself as a Republican voting for Biden. He personally felt like he was still probably going to be voting for Trump because of what he would describe as things Trump had been successful at, probably Supreme Court justices, that sort of thing.
Successful is a word for it.
Yeah. I'm just trying to be, you know, be honest with where he was at. When we talked VP picks, I thought it was interesting because he came up with the same VP pick that I did, and it was for the same reason that I did. We both feel like I know Biden fairly well because he's had a couple presidential runs in my lifetime.
Yeah.
He's certainly been in politics my whole lifetime. And I feel like he is someone – the only thing he has in common with Trump is that they value loyalty. And I think he values loyalty, not quite to the level that Trump does, but I think he does value loyalty quite a bit. And I think the person that there's a certain person that's running, that they're considering for VP pick that he knows about that person's loyalty. And I think it would carry a lot with him. Two, we think really probably his people are pressuring him to go with Kamala Harris, and that Kamala Harris is the choice that they most feel like, okay, she could run for president and all of that. I think that it's difficult for him to probably get past the fact that she really attacked him hard in those primaries. I feel like she has done some things, and I don't think he knows about the whole loyalty thing with her as much. I think the person that he's probably going to end up going with, in my opinion, is probably Susan Rice, because I think Susan Rice worked for the Obama administration. I think he has a comfort with her and worked with her before. I think she checks off all the boxes he's kind of looking at, that she's a woman, she's black, she's reminds me how I described her, is she comes across when she speaks, not quite as eloquent as Obama, but somehow like a female Obama in certain ways, comes across very well-spoken, doesn't seem, you know,
it's kind of calm.
Angry doesn't seem like, because I think for a lot of people, an angry person kind of turns them off a little bit, and enough that they don't vote for that person. I think Hillary maybe came off that way sometimes, and I think Camilla's kind of similar to Hillary in certain ways. And
I mean, it's going to be especially worse for women, black women specifically,
yes,
who are, you know, getting called shrill and getting called, getting, you know, grouped in with tropes. So obviously her being cool and collected is going to be attractive to a lot of people.
And I wish that wasn't even an issue. I wish it was, but I do think you have to look at the bigger culture and say, okay, where do we think they're more likely to go? And I think that, I think really, all things being equal, if Susan Rice was the vice presidential pick, that she might eventually become the president of the United States, and that she could probably navigate that okay. Perhaps. She's definitely more of an unknown in certain ways because she's never run for office before. She's just been, had office brought to her.
Yeah.
But I do think that in the end, he's going to probably go for comfort, and in the end, he's going to take Susan Rice, and that's what my friend thought too. And he did not, he mentioned it before I did, so I didn't, it wasn't like I was influencing him or anything. And it was good because he wasn't saying that he liked her as a pick. He didn't, because you certainly don't want a pick on a Democratic side that Republicans are going, oh, wow, I really like that person. You want it, but he was saying that for who Biden was, he thought it made the most sense, and so did I. So that's our pick, yeah. Susan Rice. But
so is that who you want to win, or who you think?
Well, that's the question. No, that's the one I think I'm going to pick. Who do I want? I mean, I want whoever's going to work well with Biden, whoever's going to make him be a successful president, as successful as he can be. I want someone who can bring things to the table that needs to come to the table. I don't necessarily want someone who's going to bring, oh, this person's from Texas, so they'll bring Texas for the, not that. Actually getting things done. And I think a lot of these, there is a list of a lot of talented women in the Democratic Party that are all capable of doing this. I think really his short list could be a list of 30 women that are really, really, really competent, could handle that job. Now, I don't think those 30 women necessarily could have the skills all around to make folks go, oh, I'm really comfortable with that person. I think that's very few, especially who are going to be able to make them so comfortable that they would vote for that person later on for president. And I think that's more the Susan Rice's area. I guess it was me. I would probably say Warren might be a choice, because I think she would bring up ideas and bring up and help him to think things through, instead of just going with, because I think once you get to be a certain age, that you tend to just kind of go, well, I've dealt with this before. I think I know how to deal with this, and we'll do it this way. And I think Warren thinks outside of the box sometimes and could go, well, how about if we did this, or have you thought about this? And I think you need that. So I would say Warren. My thing is, I think Warren would give Trump a lot of ammo to use. I think. I can see Trump within days calling them the Lone Ranger and Tonto or something.
Yeah.
Right. Certainly Pocahontas would get brought up and all that, which I don't know how he ever got away with that in the first place. I mean, it's such a racist thing to say. But I just feel like, again, baggage maybe with Warren, and I think that probably Rice is the best way to go overall, probably.
I think for me, I have a huge question on, is he going to try and bring in progressives with a VP pick, or is he trying to bring in more of the right for his pick? Because, you know, he's already that's kind of his brand right now. Is like, hey, I am the Democrat that you can vote for instead of Trump.
Correct.
And, you know, it's still going to be status quo. Don't worry. It'll go back to normal.
Yes.
Which obviously a lot of progressives are like, why would we want that?
Right.
But, you know, a lot of progressives are looking at it like, you know, all right, if we have to, we'll vote for him just so we can get Trump out of office. Right. But there's a decent amount who are still looking at Biden and saying, if this is status quo, why do I even want it? So it's a question of, if you bring in a progressive VP, do you want to bring in progressive with you? Because that could alienate the right. And if you bring in the right, it's going to alienate progressives. So
right.
It's a real juggle for him right now, trying to figure out where he's going to lie. And I think from what you've told me about Susan Rice, she sounds perfect because she's so new.
Yes.
You know, since she doesn't have as much baggage as almost everyone else.
Well, the main baggage she has, I think, and I talked with this about with my friend too, and we both agreed on this as well. The main baggage she has is during the whole Benghazi thing, they sent her out to speak to a lot of the Sunday morning shows. And she was saying that it was a spontaneous thing and it was about a tape and so forth. And you could go back and look at the footage of that. I may incorporate some of that footage into the podcast. I'm not sure. But that's a piece where she essentially lied to the American public about, and we feel like she knew more than she was letting on at the time. Now, she maybe didn't, and maybe she was just saying what her superiors told her to say. We need to go out, we need to tell about this thing, and this is what we need to say. Whether she knew about it or not, I think Biden looks at that and says, well, she fell on a sword for us in some ways,
yeah,
and that showed real loyalty. Whether she lied or didn't lie, whether she knew or didn't know more about it at the time. So I don't think that hurts her in his eyes, but it is a piece of baggage. But it's probably, of everybody, probably maybe the smallest piece of baggage anybody has.
I think
I can think of that's truly a hugely negative thing about her that anyone could bring up.
I mean, like, I think the left, the further left, and then yes, all of the right are definitely going to be like, well, what about that? But I think a lot of, you know, Biden's main focus, which is just moderate Democrats, they're going to be fine with it. Because,
yes,
I mean, if they're voting for Hillary, if they were going to vote for Hillary, then why would they, you know, be mad about the comms person,
yeah,
saying what Obama wanted her to say, essentially?
Yeah, correct. I think that is true. And then I think the other thing is that I think Biden's team probably doesn't feel like he has to reach out to the left any more than they already have. I mean, it, yeah, looks like the coalition he's got is going to take him across the finish line. So what he needs to be doing, and if you're looking at it from the point of view of a person that's just looking to have him win, is let's not mess up the coalition we have now. If,
yeah,
if we bring in somebody from the far left and please the far left a little more, then we might lose some of the people that are a little bit to the right that we're gaining. And so maybe it's a wash, maybe it's not. But also, I feel like folks on the left, if I was far left, I would not feel all that much more comfortable with Warren in there than Rice, than anybody else, because in the end, he's the president. He's doing this maybe to placate the left, but in the end, that doesn't mean that they're going to have any influence on him whatsoever. I mean, if he's truly going to work with this person tight and he's going to let them influence him, well, then yeah. But I just don't know if he is going to do that or not.
And that's a lot of our issues with him is like, you know, I genuinely want to believe that if we vote him into office, we'll be able to hold his feet to the fire. You know, he'll have enough people in Congress to influence him. He'll have a decent VP who will help influence him. But, like, who knows if he's going to let us even do that.
Correct.
You know, we really have no idea at this point. And it's really hard because you hear from a lot of people like, oh, well, you know, we just vote him in. He's going to be... it's going to be easier for us to influence him than it's going to be easier for us to influence Trump.
Right.
Which is obviously true, but how much better is it going to be?
Correct. Well, he has, it looks like he's got a really decent chance of carrying the Senate over to the left-hand side as well. The Democrats might take the Senate. When we were initially talking way before this podcast, whatever, 6 months ago or a long time ago, I had said that was one of the reasons that I thought Bernie might not be the way to go, and that I thought Bernie could win the presidency, but I really doubted whether he would be able to flip the House, flip the Senate, and the Senate would stay against him, and then he could have all these great ideas, but they weren't going to go anywhere because the Senate was going to say, no, go on any of that. Looks like Biden may actually have the Senate and the House for a while. His Obama, and this is something else I was going to bring up in this podcast, was that Obama at Lewis's funeral had said that he thinks that the filibuster.
Yeah.
should be kind of done away with entirely. And I really think that was thought out to give support for Biden and the Senate in doing that in the future. I don't think that was just a casual off-the-cuff remark. I think that was a true – I think that's something that's always bothered Obama and is going to continue bothering him for maybe the rest of his life.
Yeah.
Is the fact that he and the folks in the Senate decided – you know, they would eliminate the filibuster for certain things, for some getting some judges in, not the Supreme Court, and that they would, but keep the filibuster in most things. And so it stopped them from doing a whole lot of things they would have been able to do because they controlled the House and the Senate for a couple of years there. And when he first came into office, but they couldn't do a lot because they kept on getting filibustered away from doing the things they wanted to do because they didn't have a filibuster-proof majority for very much. They maybe for a couple few months there, but then after Ted Kennedy passed away, they didn't have that filibuster-proof majority anyway. And so I think he's trying to lay the ground for Biden so that he can come in there and get rid of that filibuster entirely, and then they would be able to do a lot of things. And you would see a lot of changes happen. Now, would it be as much as you want on the left, ultra left? Doubtful. But
yeah.
I think you would be surprised with how much changes you are going to see, how much support there will be for like the LGBTQ community, how much support there will be for a lot of things that I think would happen. And a lot of things that have been flipped one way to flip them back. And also what we've seen with Clinton, with Obama, with Trump, with Bush, is that each one of them now, starting with Clinton pretty much, has decided, boy, I need to do a lot with executive orders to get a lot of the things done because I can't get them done through Congress and I can't, right? So they've done those things, but it makes it very easy for the president after to eliminate all those things and go back the other way and then do their own things, right?
Yeah.
So I think hopefully they've learned their lesson from all that and they go, wow, if we can get the House and the Senate, let's get some of these things passed legislatively. So then they're a lot harder to undo than executive order. Executive orders are far easier to flip. And so I think you'll see some permanent changes. And the bottom line is for me, I would support probably a Republican or whoever was going to do this, anybody that would say, we want everybody that's in America 18 years and older to be able to vote. And we want to be able to make it easy for them to vote. Maybe we even make voting day a holiday where everybody can get the time to go out and vote. Hopefully a lot of them may, especially this
mail-in voting would be nice.
But that, and the only side that's looking at that at all is the Democratic side. So,
well, I mean, it's just based on the fact that, you know, if Republicans in, deep red states had mail-in voting, there would just be too many votes and they would probably get voted out. A lot of them would, especially like, you know, places in Florida where they're, I think, did Florida give felons the right to vote?
They did. Then it was like rescinded. I'm not sure where they stand now.
There was a lot of flip-flop
now. they can vote, I believe, but there's like a hurdle. It's like, I think the hurdle is that they have to have no fines whatsoever, and all their fines need to be paid or something. And there's like maybe like half of them that have fines and things that they owe. But they're also, I think, thinking that a lot of folks will not try and vote, thinking they might have fines when they really don't have fines and they could vote. Yeah. So it essentially wipes out about half of those votes as far as from the information that I've gleaned. And I could be wrong with that because I don't live in Florida, but I just know what I've read. So, yeah.
I've never understood, you know, not wanting felons to have the right to vote. Simply because, is the worst case scenario that they legalize murder? Like, there's not enough people out there to legalize felonies. Right. It's not going to happen. Like,
I think the theory is that most felons they find are a greater preponderance of them are would vote Democrat.
Oh, definitely.
And so the Republicans are uncomfortable with that, and so I think
when you have mass incarceration that primarily targets black and brown people, of course most of the people that you incarcerate are going to be Democrats.
Right. Well, and then the other thing I was going to say about voting by mail is, I mean, I get the fact that apparently Republicans don't want a lot of people to vote, and they'll say it's because of voter fraud. But it's been proven over and over again that this is not because of voter fraud. It's got to be something else. And the something else is they think that more folks are going to vote Democrat, right? Yeah. So, but having said that, most of the studies that I've seen that shows for mail-in voting is that most of the mail-in votes are actually Republicans that do the mail-in voting more consistently than Democrats do. Having said that, I think that's maybe changed a little bit over time. And I think if more states had the ability for people to do mail-in voting and that became the norm there, that the numbers of both Republicans and Democrats voting that way would go up. And
I'm sure
open to anything that lets more people vote. Yeah.
I'm sure that in, especially during coronavirus, that there's a huge amount of old Republicans who are voting by mail. Because they don't want to die at polling stations.
Yes.
And, you know, here we can vote by mail. But if I really wanted to, I could
just go out. We're in Washington State, just so people know.
I could go out and vote, and it'd be completely fine. And right. I wouldn't really worry that much. You know, I just put on a mask. There'd be a lot of issues, but I'd wash my hands afterwards.
Right.
Fine. I would still be genuinely worried for my grandparents because, you know, they can go out and vote without mail-in voting, and it would just be a lot more stressful there.
Yes.
So I'm sure that like that's the reason. I don't really understand why they keep pushing this. I kind of like, you have to take the loss at this point. It's gonna happen. It's gonna happen. Right. And you know, if so many of your constituents like it and use it, is it really worth it to keep, you know, pulling up this voter fraud stuff that has been debunked multiple times?
Right. I hope that changes somewhere along the way, and I hope for this election that they allow more people in more states to do mail-in voting than ever before, just for the fact it'll keep more people safe and allow them to vote like they should. I wonder too sometimes, and I mean, and certainly I've read this, that with President Trump continuing to say that he has doubts about voter fraud and mail-in, and that mailing in is a dangerous thing and all of that, he might turn away some of his own people that don't trust it and that end up not being able to vote or something. I mean, folks are saying that, you know, maybe it'll have a negative effect on his voters. I don't know. If that's
we'll have to see,
but we'll see what it does, it's going to be really interesting. But
I want to believe that, you know, this is Biden's election to lose.
Yeah,
but I really can't be sure. I really cannot be sure at this point. So
Well,
we'll have to see.
Lots of folks were really pretty convinced that Hillary was going to win the whole thing.
Exactly.
Right up till the end, and, you know, that didn't happen. So it just depends. A lot of the swing states really depends on them. I mean, I think it's guaranteed at this point that Biden's going to win the popular vote. But does he win the states he needs to win to get him the Electoral College win or not? And that remains to be seen. He looks like he's ahead in a lot of those places. It looks like a lot of the Democratic senators are ahead. We'll just have to see the way the whole thing folds out. But I think that's a great stopping place for us because we've been going for quite a while on this podcast. Mm-hmm. I want to thank anybody who tuned in and listened to our whole thing. I think that was great of you. It wasn't as much of a dumpster fire as I thought it might be. I thought Alicia did a very nice job. You
thank you.
Present yourself better at 19 than I could ever present myself at 19. I'll tell you that. You're well thought out, well thought out. So thanks again. And, tune in. We might be back in a few weeks to do another one. We might be back next week. I don't know. We shall see. And please comment or let us know how you feel about this podcast and whether you'd like us to do more. Alicia will keep coming back with me, but we're looking at getting more people to join us too. Maybe more people that I'd like to have some voice of the right, the left, center left a little bit, and just kind of have a dialogue, because I think instead of yelling at each other, just talking to each other and listening to each other is a far better way to go. So anyway, thank you and have a wonderful day. And we shall see who, one of the reasons we want to get this out is to see who Biden was going to pick for his VP choice. So remember, you heard it here, Susan Rice. So we shall see. Thank you so much. And I'm
all right.